I mean, what an album. You've heard it, right?
Oh, of course, yeah, I love it, yeah.
That opening track, the guitar work is just...
Oh, my... Oh. It's amazing.
And then it goes all freestyle jazz.
I know, what a twist that was.
You haven't heard it, have you?
I haven't heard it, no, I don't know who you're talking about. Mm.
Vodafone gives you 2 years of the latest music from Spotify Premium on a 2-year Red entertainment plan. The future's exciting. Ready? Vodafone. Automatically renews at the end of your contract for a charge unless cancelled. Terms and verification at vodafone.co.uk/redentertainment.
It's a good show.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
I'm cheap, but I'll spend money on air conditioning. Mm-hmm. Like, I won't part with money, but I'll run the air well into... I'll keep the air on when it's the same temperature outside.
Hmm.
I don't care. I don't give a shit. I mean, the environment's bad and everything.
I don't give a shit. But
I won't put it on in the car. I'll sweat my ass off in the car.
We rolling?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're talking about it. We'll get into it.
Really? So that's your one luxury that you afford yourself?
I won't put it on the car when you need it, like when you're going to show up somewhere and you show up somewhere. But at home,
mm-hmm.
Air on, and then I'll put on a hoodie if I need to.
Yeah. If it were up to me, I'd never run the air or the heat.
Yeah, but you got a weird...
Mm-hmm.
Masochism thing going on.
No, I think it's
whichever
just,
we decided was
it's,
the one.
It's the van. It's the van background. Like it just made me an amphibian. I just adapt to my surroundings.
I don't think that's what amphibian means.
Yeah, hot or cold, hot blooded, cold blooded, whatever you need.
No, it's just land or water.
Yeah, but
you were always on land. The van was also not a boat. Then you could use the word amphibian.
It sounded good.
Yeah, I mean, you did use a big word.
Yeah.
You don't spoil yourself with anything now you live in an apartment?
I mean, seriously, if when I'm home alone, I never turn the air on. In the winter, I never
you
turn the air on.
You sit there butting up the furniture?
Yeah, I don't care.
Just butt sweating on
everything? We got a ceiling fan. We got one of the oscillating fans, but that's all I need. You know, got to open the door, screened in. Got the little sliding screen door.
Yeah.
You know, open that up a little bit, and boom.
No way. Chill it off. I want to be able to not need a refrigerator. That's how cold I make it. Brandy Posey had a real funny joke about something like dad's on vacation. It was just an excuse for them to run the air. We're putting it at 58. I'm not paying for it. Sit in a hotel room with frigid air conditioning.
Man, dads do love that. I was thinking about that the other day. You know what... form of technology dads really have embraced wholeheartedly. At least my dad did before he died.
I kind of want to guess.
Some other dads. A form of technology they're like, yes, I will do that to the max.
I don't know. Now I know.
Tracking packages.
My dad, love it. Your dad was all about tracking packages?
He loved tracking packages. You know, just getting on the website. Oh, it's at St. Louis now. It's out for shipment.
You know what? If all you need is little rewards mm-hmm. of knowing something's getting closer, I agree. Because then there's nothing more infuriating where it's like it's stuck somewhere.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, we've lost. Like, mm-hmm. don't you do this to me, FedEx.
Yeah.
I've been watching this thing come from Bangor, Maine. We made it through the routing center in D.C. We touched down in Denver. Tell me this shit's getting lost in the Rockies.
Yeah. But yeah, that you know, he didn't know how to download a podcast, didn't know what Netflix was, didn't know.
Call it Netflix singular?
Yeah.
They got one movie.
Netflix.
A pretty popular service.
But man, as soon as that technology was made available.
We got one season of Coach on there.
But he loved tracking packages. Like whenever he'd have to mail me something, he'd give me the rundown. He'd give me the tracking number. Look, I've already tracked it today. It's like, all right, it'll get here. Don't worry, Dad.
Yeah, my mom's thing. I guess it's not technology. My mom loved warranties.
Ooh.
I used to do a joke about it, but about how, like, if she'd get me something, like, she got me, like, a years ago, not an iPod, but some, like version of it by another company. Uh-huh. And just, I got the warranty, extended warranty.
She'd pay extra for it.
Yeah. And she's like, Kyle, it covers everything. If you drop it, you could drop it in water. It could. I'm like, when am I gonna drop? Like, what do you think? I'm just like, and it was just I couldn't stop her from just coming up with scenarios in which this warranty would be helpful. You know, just anything. You could run over it with your car. You could do all this stuff. Can I exchange it for a real iPod?
Yeah, warranties were big for parents.
No, when parents try so hard to get the right gift for you and they just miss, and like the guilt of like, it's I kind of want the other thing though.
Yeah, my parents were good about early on. They figured out like once I became an adult and was out on my own, like just cash or gift cards. They just send cash in the mail.
My mom, God bless her, loves like trying to lock down perfect gifts.
That's good, though. That's nice.
No, and it is thought, but then it's frustrating for someone. You like, I need nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what's something you don't need? I'm like, well, then I don't want it. You know, Christmas is such a big holiday that it's a little heartbreaking to say, like, what if we just don't do gifts? Like, but you have to have gifts. Like, give the money to a charity in my day. Like, it's nice when somebody's like, you know what I won't get for myself? You know, like, get you know what? Like a nice Vitamix blender. I would never get that for myself. And to give somebody that idea, you know.
Or the hot air balloon ride.
She really stepped up with that.
I mean, that's something you would never get yourself.
Yeah, jumping in with me and my sister, getting each other to chat.
Yeah.
Now I have, like, the one, I think it was when I was 40, I got the PlayStation 4 with the headphones so I could play with my friends. And it was like,
I could play it with my friends.
This is really thoughtful, you guys.
I could play with my friends, and even if they don't come over, they could stay at their house, and I could play with them there.
I was sitting on the floor of the living room or with gift wrap around me going, and this, because Bob has one, and Jesse has one, and then they talk, but then I don't get to talk to them when they play, and I live so far away, but now I get to talk to them and play the games that they play.
Oh, man, that's funny. What's, and this, you know, we're nowhere near Christmas, but what's the best Christmas or birthday gift you've ever received, like, when you were a child?
Nowhere near Christmas. Talked to my mom yesterday. Listen, this year, $25 grab bag. I'm like, it is September 12th, Mom.
She's already prepared.
I'm just telling you now. I'm like, you can tell me now. You can tell me next month. You need to tell me December 15th, because that is when I will go shopping.
Yeah, yeah.
Best gift?
Yeah, anything stick out? It's like, holy crap, I can't believe they got me that.
My mom always crushed it.
Uh-huh.
They always crushed it. And another, and it was always a buildup. Like, we were like, I always felt like we were middle class, but I think looking back, it was like lower middle class. And me and my sister, we never got like gifts throughout the year, got toys bought for us, and nor did we want them. We were, I think, raised well in a place that we weren't spoiled. We were never like, you see the parents, like, they can't even take their kid to a store. I want this. And then a temper tantrum in the store.
Oh, we never pulled that shit.
No, it was never a part of our, like, no, you have Christmas and you have a birthday.
Yeah.
And that's when you get stuff.
Yeah, that's when you get stuff that you didn't earn.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Because it's Christmas, because
otherwise,
it's your birthday.
Mow the lawn, get, you know, get an allowance, do some chores, get paid for it, and then see if you want to part with that money. Understand the value of money.
Yeah.
And see if you want to part with it now. How important is it to you? She was always good around, like, always, oh, God, it's a bad year, you guys. We don't have a lot of Christmases. Christmas is her holiday.
Mm-hmm.
But at no time, I get sentimental, like, at no time do we ever feel like we were poor. Or
yeah,
anything. Christmas was always, like, because also, not being raised, you know, materialistically, I didn't know if things were expensive or not. I just knew, like, Legos, that's going to be a surefire bet. And then when I got into skateboarding or BMX stuff, anything related to that, you're going to crush it.
Yeah.
And then later on, like any Guitar Center stuff, when I was like, you know, really into playing guitar, get a gift certificate over there.
Yeah.
But my mom hated getting gift certificates. She wanted, like, they would always give me clothes. Man, juggling. They would always give me, like, she would give me clothes. My dad clearly was just like, you're doing the shopping, Dad.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Put my name on it.
Yeah. Put my name on it. You know, the clothes were always definitely like the, this is what we wish you dressed like.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, that's not gonna. Don't do clothes. My socks and underpants. Awesome. Now they just get me weird. Like my mom got me something called a man crate. It had a machete and a hatchet in it.
Hell yeah.
And beef jerky. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah,
that's pretty cool. Yeah, to contradict. Well, to contradict my statement, like we never got gifts unless birthday or Christmas, but every now and then. Dad would throw a wild card.
Oh, yeah?
And I remember vividly, I was like 4 or 5, and it was nobody's birthday. Christmas was months away. And I don't know if he had just maybe gotten a raise or so, or promotion or something. But he just came home one Friday night, and he got my brother a Fisher-Price turntable. Mm-hmm. I remember what it looked like. It was like tan all around, and then had like the yellow... The,
I have one of those.
The needle arm was yellow, and we and of course he got us a couple of little like Charlie Brown records. I don't know if you remember those. They were like they weren't as big as like a full LP.
No, 45s.
Like, but I guess they were maybe 45s. I guess they had to be. But and they also came with a book. So like you'd put the record on and they'd be acting it out.
Go through the pictures.
Yeah,
sure
and you'd flip through it. So he got my brother that, and he got me. Incredible Hulk strap-on roller skates where
they locked down on your feet?
Yes.
Shackle style? Yeah.
Yeah, they'd go over your shoe or your socks or whatever, but you didn't have to, like, take your shoe off. And but, like, near the toe was just the Incredible Hulk's face looking back up at you. And I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And I just roller skated up and down the street all night. And me and my brother both, we were like consulting each other, like, what does this mean? Like,
you guys getting divorced?
Yeah, exactly. There's got to be something going on here.
Yeah. You're not just going to be nice for no reason.
Yeah.
I was making the joke, like, oh, I ate the kind of meal that you get when your parents are about to tell you they're getting divorced. Like, when you really treat yourself. Like, I can't eat another bite, but go on, throw some pie and ice cream on the back end of it.
Oh, man.
I think we're about to get some bad news.
That's what it felt like, but there was no bad news. It was just like, you know, not to go down that thing again, getting all sentimental about Pops, but like later in life he explained like, no, I wanted y'all to have the childhood I didn't have. Like he had a terrible childhood. Nobody bought him shit, you know. He was kicked around, and I think he was just like, hey, I got a couple extra bucks this week in my paycheck, spending on my boys. And we were like, wow.
What a nice thing when you hear more about, like, you hear the stories about somebody whose parents had a shitty childhood, like, this is how it is. Mm-hmm. And then they just pass that back along with their
absolutely.
Kids. As opposed to, you know, I think we're both lucky in the fact that I was like, no, you guys will be all right. Like, grow up knowing you were, we weren't dirt poor, like, oh, we were hungry. I was like, but I know we didn't, there wasn't a lot of money to be spent on anything other than necessities.
Yeah.
For a while, we qualified for, like, government lunches and stuff at school because my dad was laid off, and but I never felt that way.
Yeah,
you know.
And this is a point I don't know if I made, you know, a month or two ago when I was talking about Dad, but you know, having such a tough childhood and a tough, you know, life up until he became an adult and whatnot, how easy would it have been for someone with a shitty childhood to just turn into a shithead themselves? Because that's kind of the drill. That's kind
of
the routine.
That's what I mean.
It
gets passed on. I was beat up by my dad. Yeah. You're getting beat up by me, and it's a cycle.
And just a total 180. Like, it would have been so easy for him to just be a shithead, but, like, just a total 180 of, like, well, to just have the, you know, the wherewithal to be like, all right, I'm going to fight my way out of this, and, you know, when I have kids, it's going to be completely different, and it was.
Being bigger than your surroundings, you know?
So rest in peace,
another good big up for old Don Stone.
I was thinking about him the other day, like, man, this is the time of year. He wasn't a huge sports fan, but he was a football and baseball fan enough, I think, by proxy, because he knew me and my brother were both huge fans. But like every fall, even after I moved out and moved out here, we had to figure out at least one Saturday, if not a couple, like, all right, what are we going to be able to watch a game together this year? Like, loved just Saturday afternoon, Georgia's playing Tennessee, let's get some pizza, let's get some wings, and Like, me and my brother joke about, like, he was from Tennessee, so he's always a Tennessee fan, but he was never, like, an informed fan. He was just like, Tennessee's going to be great this year. And my brother would be like, what's the name of their quarterback? Nah, I don't know, but they're going to be good.
Doesn't matter. They got a good eye for these kids.
Doesn't matter. But, yeah, I will miss that this fall, like, because that was just such a just such a treat to just hang out with Pops and watch a game. I know it's kind of cliche. Like, hey, watching a game with my dad. But, like, he just really enjoyed it. Like, you could tell it wasn't even about the game. It was just like, hey, I'm glad my boys are here. Yeah. And, you know, get to see them. And, you know, but so that's, you know, that's going to suck this year. But, you know, moving on. It's part of life.
I know. Yeah, I never. I mean, obviously, I'm not a sports guy. I remember, you know how, remember in gym class when they would have a written part of it for, basically, people like dweebs, like me, who are just
dweebs is underused.
Coordinationally challenged. Yeah, I just
look at these dweebs.
Yeah, couldn't. I don't think you could see a funnier sight than having somebody explain a layup and watching me try. Like, all right, you're gonna jump off with your right leg, your left knee will go up while your right arm goes up and kind of spins the ball a little bit.
It's a lot of moving parts.
And to have, no natural ability and just already dribbling is like, I may as well try to land on the fucking moon with what this is. Like, walk and bounce a ball? Get the fuck out of here. And to try and do that up to the basket and all the while, right leg, and then you jump, but your left knee goes up. And I look, it's like when you put a cucumber next to a cat and they freak out because they think it's a snake. That was me just getting up there and then just exploding with energy, spinning the ball too much. If it even hit the back, I was the kind of kid who would get the ball stuck behind the backboard and be like, Coach, it's stuck. And
so funny. I would have loved to have seen some video of you playing basketball.
Just like, just in my head, just knowing like, right leg and then left knee and then right arm. And then I just looked like I had a seizure under the basket. So there was always a written exam for that kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
For kids like me who are like, all right, if you'll get a C. Just do like, what are the rules of basketball? And the one time we were like, football, like, watch a football game and take note of all this stuff. And my dad doesn't watch football. He's like, well, my grandfather did, his dad. He's like, well, take you over to Gray Mare and Pow Pow's. That was her name, Gray Mare and Pow Pow. And you can sit with Pow Pow and watch a football game. And this is a man who was an ex-Marine from World War II, and that permeated his life. Like, to the day he died, he would still face up the groceries in the cupboard with, like, the label maker of dates when they bought them.
Wow.
In his underwear, clean ones in the back to rotate to the front. We were on a family vacation. My mom was like, why are you folding your clothes? We're on vacation. He's like, these are my dirty clothes. He was folding his dirty clothes.
Folds to put, the dirties.
Put back into the suitcase. Like, this guy was a Marine.
Wow.
I remember being fun. He was like a fun guy with the grandkids. But, oh, a task? Okay. Sit here and watch. Football's 3 fucking hours to a kid who doesn't care.
Yeah.
And my grandfather, not vocal or except, would just sit and watch it. Had his chair and just watch. Wouldn't react, but he would watch it.
Who was his teams? Who
did No idea.
Where did he live?
Chicago.
He's probably a Bears fan.
Maybe. I think he just, I think it was just the idea of battle.
Yeah.
I think he just, like, I think it was just strategy. I think, because then I have to, like, analyze. And he's like, all right, handwrite all this out. So I'm handwriting all these pages. Now copy it. Why? Because there's eraser marks here, and you scratched it. Now rewrite the whole thing. I was like, this is terrible. And he wasn't being mean about it. He's like, you do something, you do it right. I'm like, this is only so I can get a C in gym because I'm a physical idiot. But anyway, so that's my experience with watching football. I hate it. Honestly, I've been to 2 football games in my life. We went to that Rams game last year. Only because my sister lives here now.
Yeah.
She was at the Bears-Packers game at a bar in the Valley. I'm like, how is it? Like she just ran, like, text back. They just ran out of cheap tap beer. And people are losing their minds. It's great. Like, if there's going to be a bar fight, I think I'd have her first next to me, then you, Dave. Honestly, she's like, yeah, she's just into it, athletic, can handle all of it, gets it, loves competition, cheering, all this stuff. And I'm just like, if I fall off a skateboard by myself, nobody's around to make fun of me. So that's why those are the sports I like.
Yeah, Tegan does have that get shit done mentality.
Tegan's a real bro.
Yeah, she's very bro-y.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'd still go to a Rams game. That was a good time.
Man, we should go.
That was a lot of fun.
They're going to be really good this year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That was a good game we went to.
We went to they beat the Super Bowl champs.
The Saints,
They beat the Eagles. Eagles went on to win the Super Bowl that year.
That was the game we saw him with? I thought we saw him with the Saints.
Did we see him with the Saints? Why am I thinking it was the Eagles?
I mean, I don't know.
No, I think you're right. It was the Saints. I don't know why the hell.
But I thought they were
the
a good team.
Yeah, they were good.
They were undefeated in the season or something. I had a good time sitting there. I thought it was going to be more chotched up than it really was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's always a good time.
Yeah.
Football, baseball, especially, this time of year, man, baseball. Baseball's coming down to the playoffs. Football's getting into full swing. This is the most glorious time of the year.
They got wiener dog races in Long Beach.
What else going on, man?
Not much.
Any shredding this week?
Yeah, I shredded a little bit yesterday. Got out there on the hill.
Got to keep your shreds up.
Riding with guys faster than me. Shout out to my guy Dylan. He was out there with me. So I was just trying to keep up with him. You know, you got to ride with people better than you.
Yeah.
So I made all the way, like the last turn of the entire trail system, I fucking ate it.
Oh, really?
Not bad, but just a dumb, like, slow, rolled over a rock and just slipped out from under me.
Ah.
But, I get superstitious.
Hmm.
Like, where things are going just, on the highest tier, like, things are going too well in life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, something bad's got to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just enjoy it. I don't know if that's a Catholic upbringing or, like,
you've been worried about that for a few years now.
No, forever. Well, but I think what it does,
you know, you've been, everything's been going great.
Yeah, I tell jokes for a living.
So
this shouldn't be
allowed.
When's
it going to turn?
But I think that also, and inversely, makes me appreciate things then. I don't take it for granted. Like, that. It, not if, but when it goes away. So better have a good time now.
Yeah.
And work hard to maintain it. But then I also feel like with bike riding, I'm always like, I get a little leery if I've made it without a crash, like a serious crash in a while.
Hmm.
Like, oof. There's always taxes to pay.
Yeah.
You got to pay your taxes. And if I haven't paid the taxes in a while. So if I have little crashes like that kind of often, I'm like, all right, we're on a payment plan.
Yeah.
But if I haven't had one for a while, I'm like, someone's going to lose a tooth.
Mm.
Someone's going over the bars.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I'm not good enough to get myself into situations that hairy. It's more falling off the mountain. Not just falling down going fast. It's just like, I'm just putzing along. But some of these are like cliffside trails.
So. Yeah.
I got to knock on some wood, buddy. Yeah. Knock on a couple pieces of wood over here. All right.
Oh, man.
What about you?
I don't know.
Sitting in the heat, sweating up Katie's furniture.
went to the driving range yesterday with our old buddy B-Dubs.
Oh, yeah?
Billy Wayne Davis. That's becoming one of our little routines, just get high and go hit golf
balls. Do you want to commit to golfing?
No, I don't have any interest in playing golf.
I kind of want to.
I mean, I get why people like it. I get, you know, it's outdoors, you're walking around, but I just don't have any interest right now. I think that's an old dude's thing, but I do like just going to the driving range.
Yeah, dog, we're in our 40s.
Yeah, that's true. We are getting kind of old, but not me. But no, I don't know. It's just, and it's such a yuppie thing.
Like, but it's not, though.
But it is.
You think it is? But it doesn't have to be.
Everybody, I'm not going to put it this way. I'm not wearing a fucking visor. All right? I'm not wearing pink shorts and a visor. So.
But part of me wonders how much is that people making fun of the fact that they're playing golf? Like, it's less.
Like, thinking, ironically, like, haha, look at my stupid outfit.
I think that is like, we're still going to play golf and we still want to be good at it, but let's wear the dumb costume. You know? It's like face paint at the football game. Like, I know it looks silly, but I'm in the mood to be as silly. Like, having been a caddy, there was a lot of dickheads out there.
Mm-hmm. When were you a caddy? I didn't know that.
Oh, in junior high.
Okay.
A couple summers.
Huh.
I was so bad at it. I was a cat. I was tiny, and it was a classic, like, Caddyshack thing. Like, here's a giant patent leather bag with a strap that's made out of fishing line. They just cut my arm off here at the clubhouse. And so I'd have to... And I was so bad at it because I was small and I wouldn't keep up. And then the guys would try to talk to you. And I'm like, I don't give a shit about your life.
Yeah.
That then I became a four caddy, which meant you didn't even, it's been, they had the carts already. And you would just stand at the end of the hole and tell them where the balls went.
Okay.
It's like older guys.
Yeah.
Be like, it's over. And I sucked at that so bad because they put me out there immediately. Again, it was like playing, I'm just looking at airplanes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't give a shit. that I would get assigned to the carts that had these red flags on them. Literal red flags.
Uh-huh.
Which meant that somebody had heart trouble.
Oh,
there was health problems. They were old and had health problems.
Interesting.
So somebody might die. And it also meant they were only hitting the shit like 50 yards at a time.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to go halfway down the hole and spot balls for people on their last legs. And that was them. I think that was the job's way of kind of trying to edge me out.
Oh, man.
Which, so that made me despise.
So they call that a forecaddy.
Yeah, going before the, yeah. But that made me despise golf. But then I go to the driving range.
Yeah. No, I like the driving range.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's a lot harder than it seems.
That's what I mean. And then you want to hone that skill down to like, and then to putt.
Yeah.
Get on the green.
No, I don't shit on golf. I know. I get why people do it. I just, I'd rather, honestly, until I am like physically incapable of doing cooler stuff, like I'd rather just go play baseball. Just get a couple buddies playing baseball. I like that. I like playing tennis, but just golf.
You're a tennis guy?
Yeah. I used to be really good at tennis.
Really?
Yeah. In high school. I didn't play for the high school team, but I played all the time in high school. Like, I just had this group of buddies where, like, year-round, we just play tennis all the time, and I got really good. And me and my brother would play all the time.
Really?
And I would piss him off so bad because I learned to be, like, a finesse player. Like, I learned how to put the little spins on the ball and learn how to place it right. And he would just get so pissed, like, it's cheating. I'm like, it's not cheating. You know it's not cheating.
It's playing better.
Yeah. But, like, I had all these little weird spin shots and stuff, and it would just piss him off so much. And he'd throw his racket. And then, like, tennis is much like golf in the sense that, like, it is frustrating. You know, even though with tennis you're playing an actual opponent, there's still an element of you're playing the racket and playing the ball and playing the court.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, man, we both just lose our shit. Just every now and then, like, once a game, just somebody just smashing a racket on the ground, throwing balls over the fence. Like, fuck this.
It's going full surreal.
Yeah, yeah, it was very
that's
very frustrating.
The bikes thing I don't get. Like, you see the kids throw. I was talking to Fairbanks last night because I was talking about, like, funneling my rail. Like, I beat up my computer. He's like, yeah. He's like, my bone's broken in my hand because I punched my skateboard about 4 months ago. But his friend was like, it's good that you punched it. It's not another person.
Yeah.
You funnel, like, you gotta funnel your anger. Like, anybody that just thinks that they're taking their anger and, like, no, I'm processing it into a fruitful emotion, like,
yeah,
you're not, you're, yeah, putting it somewhere.
It's gonna come, it's, out.
Yeah, you're putting it somewhere. It needs to come out. You need to allow, like, I can understand almost that kind of like scream therapy, or like why they have those places you can go and just take a bat and smash up household items in a room, which I think is something I really need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. Should we talk about stuff?
Might as well, man.
Only 26 minutes in.
Might as well get into it.
Boogie Monster will get there.
Oh, you wanted to talk about...
finally talking about that Dyatlov Pass. Dyatlov. That's one of those words you wonder if it's like a backwards thing.
Well, all Russian words.
Voltage, yeah.
Like that. A lot of Y's and V's.
Yeah. Little backwards R.
Mm-hmm. So you read a book.
Yeah. Can you believe it?
Let's talk about you reading a book.
I read Dead Mountain, Donnie Eichar, E-I-C-H-A-R.
Did you read the whole thing?
Read the whole thing. Cover to cover. There's pictures in it. But we were talking about this before, and you know, this about this incident. It had come up. Some people, I think, had suggested it.
Mm-hmm.
I probably heard it on some other podcasts.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah, it was...
1959.
Mm-hmm. Some Russian hikers. They were university students,
mm-hmm,
which at that day and age, you like... I forget what they call, like, sporting. Like, you could major in sport. It was, like, looked at being, as being a well-rounded person if you were an adventurer and an explorer. And so they were all experienced hikers,
mm-hmm,
through their university, and they were celebrating, like, they were doing things. This was, I think, a personal trip.
Yeah, they were skiing or hiking to go ski.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nine of them that wanted to go skiing.
But they were also, you know, experienced hikers, mm-hmm, throughout the university at that time. You know, it was post-World War II, and there was... They're investing a lot, like there was a lot of proud Russian culture in the university things, like very proud of, like, being a well-rounded,
mm-hmm,
a burly individual that could, you know, learn about the mountains and learn about the outdoors and that. So these were experienced hikers that went up And now this book, a lot of it covers their journey up there and who saw them along the way. To say that they're, you know, good spirits and just, you know, students. I forget their age ranges, but
they were in the Ural Mountains.
In the Ural Mountains, yeah. Except with the exception of one guy that I think was like 40 who had joined them for it. They're all younger folks, younger, virile individuals. And they met a questionable demise.
Yeah, man.
In these Ural Mountains. And it was very far up there.
They all died.
I think, yeah, but they were categorized, you know, and I'm sorry, I read the book a while ago, but there are different categories of hiker.
Oh, really?
And they were like the highest category.
Oh, okay.
Like to just...
They're kind of like the Eagle Scouts of hiking?
Very much so. They, yeah, whatever their qualifications were up there. And they went up there and then they found that they went missing. They were accounted for at the different spots they had to stop at. You know, there was one, I think they stopped at like at a prison encampment for a minute was where they, like, these were the scheduled stops to make on the way up there. And then they hadn't heard from him for a while. And they sent a search party. And that's where they found these hikers. And I think that's where we'll take it.
Yeah.
Saying these are experienced people, went up there. Their demise was unseemly.
Yeah. Some weird shit happened. All right. This is from... This is kind of the findings after the police.
Oh, and I should add that the author, I don't know, old Donny Icar here, said he did meet some resistance and people wanting to talk about what their theories were. Like people in, like Russians, hesitant to discuss what they thought caused their demise.
Because there's a lot of different theories.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what the scene looked like. Investigators found footprints in the snow of 8 or 9 people who were wearing socks. They found a single shoe, and they found some prints that were barefoot. So they found prints from socks, from bare feet, and then one set of prints was just a guy with a single shoe. So the footprints, they led towards a dense forest, but disappeared after about 500 meters into the forest. The first two bodies that were found, they were men. They were barefoot, dressed only in their underclothes, and they were found at the edge of the forest near the remains of a fire. Then the next three bodies, they found Dyatlov himself. He was the ex Dyatlov. Dyatlov? Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Everybody knows what
The expedition leader, Dyatlov, they found his body and another man and another woman. And they were found between the fire and the tent, suggesting that they had been trying to return to the tent. And autopsies failed to find any evidence of foul play. And. They just assumed that all five of these bodies died of hypothermia. 2 months later, however...
Yeah, I think it said five hikers, and big, it's nine hikers.
Yeah, nine hikers total, but they found these five first. Then 2 months later, they found the partially dressed bodies of four other people. Four members of the team were discovered in a ravine not far from the first two bodies. These four people, they appeared to have suffered traumatic pressure or crush injuries. And one of them, the female, her tongue had been ripped out. How fucking crazy is that?
Yeah.
So they find the five bodies, and then months later, they find the other four.
Yeah, they're covered, you know, covered with snow.
Yeah, they found them, like, buried way underneath a bunch of snow.
And old Donnie here, the author, he was actually retracing their steps. He was going to go on the hike in the winter to see what it was like. It was, you know, a little, I think it was too much for him to follow through on. But now, to some tells me, yeah, like, oh, their eyes were missing. They say that, you know, scavenging birds and what do they call those kind of birds that just prey on something that's already dead?
Birds of prey?
No, because it's already dead.
Scavengers, like buzzards?
Yeah, and there's a different term that I'm...
Oh, okay.
But, they go for the soft items. So that could explain the tongue missing, eyes and stuff like that, that they'll go for soft tissue.
Interesting.
Especially if everything's freezing.
Yeah.
They're going to go for the soft bits.
Uh-huh.
So that explains why some of that. Some of the bodies had, was it radiation?
Yes, that's a curveball. They're wondering where the hell this radiation came from.
And people were seeing, correct me if I'm wrong, seeing like bursts of light in the area.
Absolutely.
Previous hikers had seen odd bursts of light.
Big old fireballs. It was reported that eyewitnesses in the Ural Mountains, they saw fast-moving balls of fire in the night sky around the time of this incident.
Mm-hmm. So I think there was, like, indigenous people there that had, that they interviewed and said that, yeah, they would see some people going UFOs.
Some people think UFOs. Other people think it might have been a Soviet missile or rocket testing.
That's where I lean on this whole thing.
Really?
Because then also, yeah, there's evidence that they cut themselves out of their tent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tent that they found, their tent was set up with their stuff inside, their shoes and everything inside. What would cause them to run out of their tent panicked without shoes, without the necessary
items? It was cut from the inside?
It was cut from the inside out. Wasn't that it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Why would you cut the tent from the inside rather than unzip it? Does that mean quick getaway?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Was there something on the side of the tent with the opening that caused them to leave in a hurry? Maybe they thought someone was outside of their tent and that was the sneakier way to get out. Cause, I mean, it's a pretty sizable tent for 9 people to camp in it.
Yeah.
Probably, I mean, we're in a garage right now. I'd assume it's got to be something about this big.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'll say, you got your old Russian government officials or the military on one side. Maybe you think you could sneak out.
Yeah.
You don't have time to put boots on or anything.
Yeah. I mean, think about what a scary incident it must be when you're bolting and not even bringing your shoes.
Yeah, maybe we sneak out, they'll leave, we can get back in there and get our stuff. So maybe that's an idea of what happened. I think they stumbled into like some government secrets.
Really?
If there's any history, I mean, look at right now, one of the guys from Pussy Riot got poisoned. They just found the two other guys that poisoned that British spy. Just two Russians. Just two Russian dudes. No, we just were on vacation to see a cathedral.
Yeah.
Like, that's the guys they think that poisoned them. Russia has no qualms about silencing those they think need to be silenced.
Yeah. You know,
they're not going to take legal action to hush them up. Like, well, here's a report. Here's orders that say cease and desist. Like, they'll just kill you.
Man, there's a new documentary. I can't remember the name of it, but it just came out about Russia's involvement with the 2016 election.
Yeah.
And, like, it looks good. Like, there's no... And, of course, that's kind of been top of the headlines for a couple of years now. But, like, it's almost so prevalent now that, like, I don't even... I just tune out. But, like, they're probably involved in all kinds of shit with our government.
What is it with conspiracy theorists that want to believe that Pizzagate was real, but you don't want to believe that Russia bought our election?
Great point.
You want to believe that they were fucking boys at the basement of a pizza shop in Washington, D.C., but the very real thing that has evidence, like, nope, everybody just can't handle it. Trump is crushing it. Like, if you're a conspiracy theorist, don't you have to apply that curiosity to all the conspiracies? Except for the ones that prove that your guy is shitty. Not that we're trying to make... This isn't a political podcast.
No.
But like we said before, we know where we fall with things. Like, you're not going to believe that theory. The one that they're investigating and is very true.
That mentality is so interesting of just... And we've talked about this before, and again, we're not a political podcast, but like... Mm-hmm. And this isn't an original thought. I heard this from somebody, but it made sense to me. Like, okay... I'm not going to blame you too much for voting for Trump. You know, if you're a farmer, you thought Hillary was going to tax the shit out of you or do whatever. Mm-hmm. If you thought financially voting for Trump was going to help you, okay, that's fine. But 2 years later with all the fucking shenanigans, you're still just, you can't admit like, well, okay, I voted for him, but maybe he's a little whatever. Like, but just this blind 100% loyalty of like, nope, he can do no wrong.
Yeah, because you're...
That's scary.
A racist that is hoping for a white America again, and he is going to lead you to it.
Jeez.
That's what you're thinking. Like, that's right. We're scaring you.
That being said, let me address... I got a message from a guy. It was a pleasant enough message, but he was... I was defending Skynyrd a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I meant something about... Are they racist?
Well, he's just like, they're racist because they did the Sean Hannity Freedom Tour or something. And I'm like, well, first of all, I'm talking about original early Skynyrd. And they're...
I got to pay for my 9 houses.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the guys now, I'm sure. I mean, one of their late albums was called Gods and Guns. So, yeah, I get that they're probably on the conservative
leaning into their fan base.
But just the way this guy phrased it, he was like, they're racist because they did the Sean Hannity Freedom Tour. I'm like, that's
racist by association.
I mean, you know, yeah. I'm not a Sean Hannity fan, but I'm saying you can't just label somebody a racist. Like, maybe they needed the gig, you know? I mean, how many gigs have you done where you're like, if somebody, I don't know.
That's
a slippery slope to just slap racist onto everything.
All right, well, that's my thing. It's like, well, the Third Reich had accountants, too.
Yeah.
They know who they work for.
That's true.
That was my old joke. Oh, tough trying to find a non-Jewish accountant. But, like, all right, well, how far removed do you get to be before somebody's like, oh, they're just working. Mm-hmm. You know? Just following orders. But, like, all right, your affiliation with somebody... Yeah, where do you stand on your where do you stand your ground on your affiliation with somebody who's like, oh, but I got to work, I got to feed my family. Mm-hmm. All right, at what cost? You know, what belief? You know,
but if we're going to just label, you know, if everybody's racist by proxy, or you know, like, I don't know, I just think that's dangerous to just, oh, they're racist because they did this guy's show.
Yeah,
so, you know. And again, I'm not defending. I mean, there's a good chance they are. They named an album Gods and Guns, and I don't know what the current lineup. I don't know what any of their political stances. But just my point is, I was talking about original Skynyrd and their usage of the Confederate flag. Like, it's just more to it. You got to dig a little deeper than just automatically just slap that racist.
Yeah,
tag
take it
people.
From the boogie monster. You got to dig a little deeper. You know, like what we do.
Well, I'll dig a little deeper on this topic.
Hey, good transition.
Here's another theory that some people think might be responsible. I mean, they're in the Ural Mountains in northwestern Soviet Union, way up in high elevations, snow everywhere.
It's going to be Bigfoot.
What about old Mr. Yeti? What if there was Mr. Yeti came strolling by and needed a snack or was defending his territory?
Yeah, but now you got to admit that former Sasquatch is violent.
Well, I mean... He's a wild beast.
Doesn't that go against... Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he was this hyper-intelligent, can elude every man. Can get away from... Maybe the Russian one's just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But he can escape every single captor in the Pacific Northwest, but nine fucking idiots in Russia wander up into the completely desolate mountains into the one place where they scare a Yeti.
You never know. We just don't know. We don't know their behavior.
I think we do. I think we know.
I think it could be. Well, they found a picture on one of the victims' cameras.
They thought it was them screwing around.
And it doesn't look like a Yeti. It looks like the proportions are more of a man.
They made a lot of joke pictures. They were like friends. This was a group of like silly friends. There was like all these accounts of them singing songs and getting along like...
Okay, but what about, okay, so they're making jokes. Do you have the info about one of their journals where they wrote, somebody had written, I'm paraphrasing, but, well, at least now we know that the abominable snowman is real. Did you come across that in the book?
Yeah, because I think they wrote that and took a funny picture.
Okay, so you think that's in jest?
Very much so. Very much so, I think it's in jest.
But how do we know?
Because that's how you would respond to Bigfoot is just writing like, I guess we know it's real.
Well, you might want to write it in your journal in case I get eaten by this thing tomorrow.
No, that's them. They were silly. They were fun youngsters. They were goofing around.
They were.
Because I always picture them just smiling.
Really?
Being goofballs, yeah. Look at them. Look at them all just... Silly, being fun. Look at them, jovial individuals. And I'm sorry, I should have done this one right after I read the book because I forgot a lot of the info on it.
Uh-huh.
But there was a lot, just as far as like the search efforts were kind of botched and stalled by a lot of people. And, you know, so they weren't.
Well, let's go back to the radiation. Why would they be contaminated with radiation?
That's where I think. And also, what's interesting is the one guy who had really bad arthritis turned back, and that's who he interviews a lot in this book.
Oh, okay.
Because he was going to go on, he was part, but he had such bad arthritis he couldn't go through with the trip, so he had to bow out at a certain point. And he was the one survivor of the group. But I think they stumbled across nuclear tests. It's 1959. It's the height of the Cold War. You want to test nuclear stuff? You're going to do it out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You got big old balls of fire that people are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
They got close enough that maybe there's some rudimentary radiation from that. And you have perhaps a military patrol out there in the area, if that's what they're doing testing, going hikers, and they saw what we're doing, just kill them. We're in the middle of nowhere. Nobody's going to know it's us. Just take them out. That's the theory I side with more. I don't think it's paranormal. But the fact that nobody knows is the spooky part of it. But I think that's what happened.
Wonder how if that were the case, then, you know, there were no bullet wounds. I mean, maybe
they came across them and they ran off into the, you know, like maybe that's the thing. They stumbled upon their tent. They freaked out. One person had like a crushed skull, but they think there was like his falling injuries.
Mm.
The way someone was like found crumpled up in this after the snow thaw and everything. I think they freaked out and ran out of the tent. They saw, heard about some ball of fire and somebody had a razor and just immediately cut the tent and ran out.
Hmm.
You see a big flashlight on that side of the tent and they just ran out not knowing what it is.
Yeah.
You get disoriented if there's a blizzard. You can't see your way back. It's not like they had a fire or anything light in their way.
Mm-hmm.
You could easily get disoriented.
Yeah, that's true. Here's another theory that's in your book, because I'm reading notes about the book. And there's a scientific theory that maybe these skiers were driven to hysteria by this thing called infrasound. Infrasound waves caused by a weather phenomenon known as, I know I'm mispronouncing this, Karman Vortex Street. In simple terms, Karman Vortex Street, it's an oscillating pattern that emerges when a fluid or gas flows around a suitably shaped object. When this occurs on such a large scale, these wind patterns can theoretically generate very low-frequency sound waves that have been blamed for harmful psychological symptoms in human beings.
That was the thing? Is that what they thought was happening in the Cuban embassy or the American embassy in Cuba? I thought it was like sound terrorism because they were coming down with headaches and feeling ill. And it turns out it could be a natural phenomenon. I told you that's what people think. Ghosts, that kind of vibration was happening in hotel air conditioning systems.
Really?
And they think, I don't know if it's this particular one, but it was a vibration that not only is going to make sounds, but also can vibrate the fluids of your body, including your tears, your ocular nerve endings, to where you think you're seeing apparitions, but it's really this low frequency vibration. And they realize, oh, this could explain why people are seeing ghosts in one particular hotel.
Huh.
If the air conditioning units hit a certain thing. See, this is why you should be into air conditioning. It'll make you see ghosts.
That's true.
But what, just from the winds of the area?
The author, he argues that such a phenomenon may have occurred at extremely high wind conditions the night of the incident, resulting the bombardment of the skiers by infrasound waves might have induced severe panic and caused them to flee the safety of their tent. And that's what drove them out of the tents.
Or like two people ran out, other people chased them. The fact that all of them got it at the same time, though, that's saying that everybody's body reacts the same way to something. I don't think that's... Mm-hmm.
Another theory, this one seems to be, by some people, the most believable, is just a good old-fashioned avalanche. Avalanche may have came and crushed everybody. Who knows?
They heard these noises. They thought it was an avalanche. But it's still like they're cutting themselves, assuming they cut the tent. Because I think, let me look again. It was cut from, they said, the inside out, I believe. Right? Is that what it
says?
Yeah,
it was cut from inside.
Yeah. So maybe that, if they thought an avalanche was coming from one direction.
How scary would that be? A damn avalanche. You ever seen any video, like well-shot video of an avalanche? There's one of I've been getting a lot of these videos of like near death, like people who almost got hit by a train or almost got hit by a car.
Yeah.
There's one of a skier skiing down this huge mountain
in front of the
about
avalanche.
20 yards ahead of an avalanche. And you, my question is, like, while he's skiing, you can't really tell because it's a long shot, the vantage point, but I wonder if he even knew. Like that.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, you hear it. There's a sound.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you would hear
it. I mean, I've never been involved in an avalanche, but I think there's a sound.
But it's a crazy video. This skier just hauling ass down a mountain, and literally like 20 yards behind him is just this giant avalanche. And I think once he got to the bottom, he peeled off in another direction and was saved. But yeah.
Wouldn't there be evidence of it?
Evidence of an avalanche?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know how, like, don't you see where it started? Isn't there less snow where it used to be? I guess if you've never weren't measuring the snow in the first place, you don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, and if it's snowing a lot up there, I don't know if it just, yeah. you know, 24 hours later.
Or they heard some sort of nuclear explosion, thought it was an avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like my theory.
Yeah, I mean.
I think it's those Russians. They're shutting people up.
So do you think that the Russians murdered these folks, or they got spooked by the Russians, ran off into the woods, and got hypothermia and died?
I think that's it. I think they panicked. Something caused them to panic and leave the tent mm-hmm. Through cutting it open. Maybe they didn't all cut it. Maybe somebody was fighting with the flap trying to get out the front, mm-hmm. and they're like, no time, and somebody cut the other side out. But to leave all their boots and everything, that means, yeah, you're leaving in a panic. You're not mm-hmm. thinking like, oh, we got to get out of here. They ruled out the fact that it wouldn't be, they were experienced, it wouldn't be like gas from the stove or the oven they were using mm-hmm. to cause them to go nutty and get out of there.
Yeah.
I think they ruled out that that wasn't the case.
Yeah, that didn't.
And there was food ready. Like, they were making food. Mm-hmm. There was food ready to go.
That's always weird when you find...
You just can't believe somebody would run off without eating?
There, I read some story.
Yeah. It's a whole sandwich here. I mean, no matter what goes on, have a little nosh. You're going to need your energy.
But years ago, I read some story about people who go out in the desert and hike and then die of dehydration and the yeah. elements and stuff. But they were talking about how a high percentage of the bodies or the victims they find out in the desert still have a jug of water. Like, they'll find people who have... later determined this person died of dehydration, but yet he still had half a gallon of water in his jug.
And because you think you're saving it for later?
The psychology of that, yeah. The same way, like, most pets, like, I've had pets and cats and dogs, and when I'm gone all day, they won't finish their food. They'll eat most of it, but, like, if it's a day where...
Because they don't know where it's coming next.
Exactly. But my cat, Harvey... Mm-hmm. Harvey, he just eat that shit anyway. Like, Harvey just eats all his shit. Like, it's like we'll be gone for.
Harvey's
like,
not a survivor.
No, he's not a survivor.
He's been over domesticated.
Where the other cat is like, no, I'm not gonna. I don't want to have zero food and them not be home yet. Harvey's just he'll fucking eat it.
I can understand how that mentality settles in, and you're like, mm-hmm. well, no, when I really need it, I'll take it. Like, no, now you really need it, but mentally, you're out of whack. Just like we were saying, like how hypothermia, they were finding people. Stripped down in mountains, like in snow, it's because hypothermia could lead you to be like your mind short circuiting and thinking you're overheating. You pull off all your winter clothes and you die.
You've gone hiking or camping. A couple Thanksgivings ago, you went camping in the snow.
Yeah, I hiked up like? I was in Sequoia. It was weird. I mean, thinking about losing orientation, though, it was. Yeah, especially like where they're – it's all just whiteout.
Yeah.
So even if they did run out in a panic and then, oh, shit, it wasn't what we thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now if it's dark, I forget what the moon cycle was, if they had that or if it was cloud cover. And now you're looking for your friends. You hear your friends over there, but wind and echoes can play tricks on you. You know, about where sound is coming from. Oh, well, then let's go look that way because we think so-and-so's lost over there.
Yeah.
Now you're lost on top of looking for somebody else that might not even be over there because of the way the wind is carrying someone's panicked voice from over here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they say somebody like they were, I don't know if they felt like deadfall from a tree. They were under a tree. Some people had made a fire. Something spooked them out of the tent and then they got disoriented and that's what I think happened.
Mm.
But camping in the snow, it was spooky, and I think it was not a full moon, but a pretty almost full moon, and it was very eerie.
How cold did it get at night? Do you remember?
It was – I run hot. That's why I like the air so much anyway. And I was prepared with long underwear and everything. So I wasn't, it wasn't ice cold. The one time I went years ago with a buddy, like all our water froze and it was like, oh, this is, but it's also kind of neat. Like, oh, you only camp when it's warm and you're partying and drinking around. Like, no, this is, I'm asleep in the snow. Having to go pee was weird. Like, I just, my boots, boots and long underwear, like a real Elmer Fudd dipshit out there. Like, oh, man, don't let the bears attack me like this. Let me have some pants on.
Oh, man. It's funny. That's funny we're talking about this. I'm rewatching Sopranos right now. I do it about once a year. Mm-hmm. I'll just watch the whole thing.
That's a lot of.
I love it so
that's
much.
That's a lot of television.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know.
How many episodes you watch in a day?
I'll watch one or two at night before
I go really?
To bed.
Oh, really? When I was going through Breaking Bad, I'd crush about four or five.
Yeah, I don't. That's why I don't binge watch stuff. Like, well, that's why I'm reluctant to start new shows. Everybody's like, oh, you got to watch this. You got to watch that. But I don't want to get sucked into the binge. I don't want to.
Sucked into the binge.
I don't want to sit there for 8 hours.
Dave Stone sucked into the binge.
But I was watching the one the other day. I forgot what season it was where Paulie and Christopher are down in Pine Barrens in South New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Old,
they got this
Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
Old
they got
Jersey
this
Devil.
Russian guy that they thought they had killed, and they put him in the trunk. And,
oh, and he wanders off.
They get down there. They open the trunk. Oh, shit. He's still alive. So they march him out into the woods, and they make him dig his own grave.
Yeah.
And while he's doing that, he pops one of them with a shovel, runs off. But now they're looking for him out in the middle of nowhere, snow everywhere. And Tony's on the phone relaying information, and he says that this guy's he's a Russian dude, but he's ex-military.
Yeah.
And he used to work for the Interior of Defense, and during a war, he killed 16 Chechen rebels. And then Paulie relays that to Christopher. He goes, this guy killed 16 Czechoslovakians. He was an interior decorator. And then Christopher goes, his apartment looked like shit. I just love how stupid those guys are. He's an interior decorator.
Somebody was just talking about that, and like they never found that guy, right?
Never found him.
He just went away. That's a weird
thing. They shot him. You could see that Christopher shot him, and it got him in the head. Like a little blood splatter popped up,
yeah.
But he kept running. So,
speaking of Chechens, I don't know if it's Chechens or in the show Barry on HBO.
Whoever I've heard those, that's great.
But whoever the two like Eastern European mob guys are, real funny.
Real funny.
Real funny dudes.
I heard that's a good show.
Yeah.
Steven Root's in that.
Yeah.
I love Steven Root.
Also, what the fuck with the digging your own grave thing? The minute you're like, dig your own, no, shoot me.
Fuck you. Yeah.
You dig it.
Yeah.
Who's, what sucker bet?
Yeah.
Well, if I dig it, you'll let me go? No, you're digging your own grave.
Yeah, no.
Suck my dick. You do it. Fucking dig my own grave. Who are these? You deserve to die. You dug your own grave, dipshit.
Yeah.
They're getting shot anyway.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that. But, all right. So you think it was the KGB. I think it was
I would Yeti. Dig it weird. I would dig it like a square so I wouldn't fit in it right. Or just dig one hole real deep, so you got to get me in there up and down, you know?
Like a fence post.
Yeah.
Got some post hole diggers.
Just real wide, but only a foot deep. You want it done right, you do it yourself. That's what I was taught, dig my own grave.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, God.
Anyway, I think there's nuclear stuff that accounts for the radiation. They got spooked by it. Maybe there was Russian troops out there monitoring it. They got disoriented. They froze.
Well, all right, then. Makes sense to me.
But a good read. Book was a good read. The guy, you know, really followed the footsteps of the hikers, talking with the guy who had arthritis, couldn't make it on the trip, and some of the other inside information. I mean, some of these books get a little hokey, and they get a little bit like, you could tell they're trying to fluff it out. This is an informative book. The guy really... He walked the walk, he talked the talk.
Well, that's cool, man. Yeah, this has always been one of those, a lot of people have suggested this topic, and that's one that's been in my peripheral.
Well, here's the half-ass version we promised you, everybody.
I think it was a Yeti. You think it was...
Dave thinks everything's a Yeti.
It's probably a Yeti.
Bad. You can't prove it wasn't.
Well, probably. So what else going on, buddy? Anything to plug? This comes out, today is October 2nd.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, how time flies. Feels like just yesterday it was September 13th. Don't give it away. October what?
October 2nd.
Oh, tomorrow I'll be at the Punchline in Sacramento.
Oh.
And then I'll be at Cobb's in San Francisco all weekend.
Nice.
And then I'll be in Santa Cruz on Sunday at a place I can't remember the name of. And after that, I'll be bike riding around Santa Cruz. So if you want to go mountain biking, I'll be out there.
Well, that's cool.
And if you happen to live in eastern Oklahoma, you know, that hotbed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a casino gig at a Cherokee Indian casino in West Siloam Springs, Oklahoma.
I hope it's a ticketed event.
I'll try my best, guys.
I've done so many of those old casino gigs where, like, I'm sure yours is. We're going to see Kyle
playing Kennedy. Over the one-armed bandits.
Yes. It's literally a room where there's just comedy. Comedy happens in this room, and people, there's no tickets. People just mosey in and out.
It's probably,
and they're all pissed because they've lost their money.
It's probably like, going to be.
Who's this asshole? Some of the worst gigs I've ever done were in casinos.
But, yeah, even my agent was like, this, look at how much they want to pay you to do this.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you you should. It's a casino gig. We both know what that means.
Yeah.
But if people are there, I will try my darndest. I'm not going to go all the way out to Eastern, to Oklahoma, just to phone it in. But I'm also going to try and add some dates in Oklahoma City, maybe Albuquerque, to round out the trip.
Well, so that sounds good.
Stay tuned. But otherwise, hey, tomorrow, Sacramento, San Francisco, Santa Cruz. Dave, what are you doing?
Nothing to promote. This week, I'm driving a U-Haul trailer from Worthen, Georgia, to Georgetown, Indiana.
Oh, moving mom's up there?
Essentially Louisville, but they're going to live right across the line, right across the state line in Indiana. So, yeah, I'll be doing that this weekend. So, anybody?
I thought Cincinnati was across from Louisville.
No. Cincinnati is on the border of Kentucky and Ohio, but not Louisville. Some smaller city.
That's not the airport that you fly into to go to Louisville?
I think Louisville has its own airport. Hmm. Cincinnati's not far from Louisville, but I think it's like an hour and a half. But it's not, they're not right there.
Going to the map.
Yeah, Cincinnati's definitely on the Kentucky-Ohio border, but not where Louisville's at. So, yeah, anybody in Georgetown, Indiana want to hang out this weekend, holler at me. Tell me where the good hot spots to get some local
Georgetown,
fare.
Georgetown, Indiana. I'm trying to look at where this across from Louisville. Mm-hmm. I think I did some tubing down there.
Oh, yeah?
Some old-fashioned river tubing. Maybe it was at Palmyra. Where was I? It's fun to see to go river tubing and then just tube right past an old junkyard where you could tell where the new cars came in.
Oh.
They would just push them all back with a bulldozer because the old cars were just going into the river.
Oh, wow.
So you see like old Fords and stuff from the 50s with just oil rainbows around them. We're just tubing.
How is that okay? Wow.
Ain't that America?
Just push it into the river.
That's that stuff old Johnny Cougar Mellencamp sang about. That's the pink houses, those gas rainbows in your tubing river.
John Mellencamp and trip.
What was that? When the band trends were like making fun of that John Cougar concentration camp.
Yeah,
and I think they got sued out.
Yeah,
REO Speed Dealer.
Yeah, what were some others? Oh man, there was a few.
I think in High Fidelity, Jack Black's band name for a while was Kathleen Turner Overdrive.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a good one.
There's a Dale Earnhardt Jr. or something like that.
Yeah. But just the funny, make fun of them names. I just saw something on. I hate that I go on Reddit now because like at first I was like, oh, this is fun. There's weird stuff that comes up, and you go now. I'm like, this is all just trash. But somebody wrote instead, like, took a Papa John's pizza box and crossed out Papa and wrote Elton and then just put sunglasses on his face with an earring, and it looks just like
that's pretty good.
Sometimes the internet still gives you a little fun, little nugget of good times.
That's a good one there.
Just look up sugar gliders. If you're having a bad day, you don't agree with what's going on in politics, look up sugar gliders. It'll make you happy.
What is it?
Give me a hint. It's like a little flying squirrel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're adorable.
That sounds great.
Yeah, a couple little sugar G's. All right,
Dan. Holla at your boy.
The Boogie Monster.
It's a good show.